Good morning. Did you notice where Sylvia got the first reading? From the very last book of the Tanakh. The Tanakh, of course, is arranged right to left as Hebrew reads, so that Genesis is at that end. Second Chronicles is next to the tabernacle. And what you heard was the end of the Tanakh. The last verse of the last chapter of the last book of the Tanakh. And let you go up. Doesn't fit. They had to rearrange history to put it that way. But they did. Because they wanted to make a point. I mean, there's in effect a four-volume set. There's two histories. One is the former prophets, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. And then there's another history, which chronologically would be 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah. But when they're putting together the Ketuvim, the writings, Ezra and Nehemiah are put first. And 1 and 2 Chronicles are put last. That ends the Tanakh. And the reason they did that was to end it with this phrase, and let you go up. May the Lord, using the sacred name, be with you and let you go up. This is addressed to the exiles. We've skipped now another 600 years. Over four Sundays we had Noah. Of course, it's pretty fictional, but probably set about 600 years before Abraham, and then Abraham, and then another 600 years to Moses, and now another 600 years to the exile. We've skipped over Joshua and Judges. We've skipped over David and Samuel. We've skipped over all the good kings and all the bad kings and all the prophets that reigned in the meantime. And come to the very end in this summary form that says, and they did it so bad that God finally had to let it collapse. And off they went to dreary exile. But then once the land had regained its Sabbaths, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make this announcement. And let you go up. Exile is over. God has spoken. Go up from exile. Go up to Jerusalem. Rebuild. Rebuild the city. Rebuild the temple. God has reestablished the covenant and let you go up. Now I warn you, if you look in your Christian Bibles, it doesn't end that way. Christian Bibles customarily rearrange the Tanakh, put the books in different orders. And it ends with the prophets. So you've got the law, and then the early histories, and then the writings, and then the prophets. But in the Tanakh, it's K, the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the writings end with this line, and let you go up. That was deliberately picked out, of course, to set the stage for our gospel reading this morning. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Different words, but related thoughts. To go up, to be lifted up. And that phrase, that very word, will be used three times in John. Here in chapter 3, in chapter 8, and in chapter 12, just before the Last Supper. Early, middle, and late in the ministry. And the Son of Man will be lifted up. Notice that that's parallel to the three predictions of the Passion in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Notice that both sets include the must idea, the divine necessity. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man must be handed over to those and so on. And the Son of Man designation for Jesus. Both of those are common to both sets of three. Do we have here perhaps a two later elaborations of a very early memory of Jesus' predictions of what will happen in Jerusalem? The Son of Man must be lifted up. Lifted up is one of these delightfully multi-layered words. It has a number of different usages and a number of different connotations. And John intends every one of them right here. First of all, it's a euphemism. It's a euphemism for to be crucified. You don't want to say that Uncle John was crucified. Uncle John was lifted up by the Romans. It's like a relative of mine who started to do our family history, was doing the genealogy, gave it up. We asked him why he gave it up. He said he discovered that one of our ancestors died suddenly. He was guest of honor at a public function when the platform gave way. Certain things one euphemizes, if possible. To be lifted up is to be crucified. The Son of Man must be lifted up. But of course, in its root meaning, it means literally to lift up. And it's used of people as in to lift up someone from illness or to lift up someone from the dead. The prophets several times are spoken of as lifting up people from the dead. To be crucified, to be lifted up from the dead. And a third usage of the word is the prophets use it to describe their visions. I was lifted up to heaven, and God showed me such and such and told me to say thus and so, and therefore thus says the Lord. All three of those messages are right here. The Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross. The Son of Man must be lifted up from the grave. The Son of Man must be lifted up to the right hand of God. And now skip back to the reading between them. Paul's reading. Interesting. Paul doesn't like dictionaries. They're too small. Words don't have enough meanings in the dictionary, so he will create some new ones. Words don't have enough forms in the dictionary, so he will stretch a few. And there aren't enough words in the dictionary, so he will create some new ones. And in the reading today, he does. We smooth it out a little in translation. But if you read the original, it says that we are raised up with lifted up, and with seated in Christ. Now, Greek is a little more facility for tacking adjectives onto prepositions onto the front of verbs. So it doesn't sound quite as strange in Greek as it does in English. But it's still a little strange. It's a new word. We are with lifted up. We are with seated at the right hand in Christ. That takes this message and extends it to us. We, like the exiles, are told, and let you go up. Go up from exile. See the light. See the light that is coming to the world that puts everything in a different light. Follow the light. Go up. Go up to Jerusalem. Reestablish. Be lifted up in Christ. Put your faith in him. This passage emphasizes faith. And you have to take faith in its full context with its whole range of meaning. It's not, you know, believe in as in accept intellectually the fact that. It's believe in as in commit yourself to. Believe in as in be assured at the bottom of your heart of the trustworthiness and faithfulness of God. It is as much keeping faith as it is professing faith. Keep faith with this one who will be lifted up. Be with lifted up with him. Be with lifted up on the cross. Be with lifted up from the grave. Be with lifted up to the glory of God. That's what our Lenten journey is ultimately about. Like the exiles, we are to and let you go up. And may the Lord your God be with you and let you go up. And as disciples of Jesus, we are to be lifted up with him. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.